Our gospel today is on this kind of a tough story called it's often termed the parable of the wicked tenants. These tenants have this vineyard, they're running it, and the owner keeps sending them people to, if you will, collect the rent, and they won't have anything to do with it. They beat them up and send them away. Finally, the owner decides to send his own son, his beloved son, we hear, and of course, they say, hey, this is even better. You know, we'll make this an opportunity to kill him so we can have this place for ourselves. Of course, Jesus is not only telling about just how bad human nature can get, but he's also telling the story of his reaching out to God's people through the prophets and finally through himself, and how that's rejected, cruelly rejected. Well, as I think about that story for us today, in some ways I struggle because, you know, one of the things we try to do as preachers is find some place to help you get into the story, to have you, if we would say, identify with characters in the story. And I don't think most of us think of ourselves as wicked tenants. When's the last time you beat somebody up? I don't think we do that. We don't feel like we're murderous. Now, I know in extreme circumstances in the world that people can do, including us, things that are beyond what we normally think of, but that's not usual. We're not there. And I just go, you know, how do we jump into the story? So where I go in, I think we all know something about being renters. Sometime or another, maybe even now, you're renting and you go and have to put that monthly check down. And that's not easy to do, is it? Because that's usually a good chunk of the money you do have. And there's a million other things you want to spend that money on. I mean, there's a lot of fun you can have with that money, all this other stuff, and you're just giving it to this guy, this landlord thing, you know? This distant, aloof figure that you can't really relate to very well, and you gotta give him that check. We might not be wicked tenants, but we might be lousy renters at times, aren't we? We can maybe relate on that level, like at least begrudging renters, that we have to give this check to this person, and maybe we're late or slow or just don't, you know, like the whole deal. So maybe let's just run with that. So what is the rent that God would have us pay or owe for being in this place, this vineyard of we call earth that is ours? What do you owe? What's the check you need to write out? Well, as I kind of struggle with that, I think back in Jesus' day, of course, he had all the law from the Old Testament, you know, up on Mount Sinai. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, so that's part of it. But that law expanded by Jesus' day. They had 612 of them with lots of a commentary under each one of those bad boys so that you know exactly how to fulfill that thing. It became this overwhelming thing for a lot of people. You need a degree in the law to follow the law, you know, because it was just so complicated. So what some people try to do is, if you will, is put a summary to it. Put it in a few words to folks about what their rent is. And that's what really our prophet Micah does for you today. I like it because it gets it down to three things. I don't know about you, but if I go to the grocery store and I have three things, I won't write it down. I get four, that's it. I'm done. I'm writing it down. The three I can remember. So you get three today. He says, I have told you, O mortals, what is good and what the Lord requires. Your rent from you. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with your God. It's a good list, isn't it? I like it a lot. Do justice. I think for us as justice, you know, we could look at our own legal code and say, well, justice is what our law says, but we all know our legal code is this huge thing that's much greater than even what Jesus and all those people back then had to deal with, and it's hard to know all that. But underneath justice is really for us in our day-to-day living is a sense of fairness. A sense that if I'm going to work for you for so long and you promise me so much money that deal, I do my hours, you give me that money. That the deal is fair and square and the up and up. That things are, that there's fair opportunity for one kid versus another kid in this world. And on the negative side, that if you do something wrong, that there's a fair consequence for that. So we have this huge sense of, I think, if you will, fairness in our lives, that when we think of justice in the world, The problem, I think, with that is that we're very sensitized to what's unjust, unjust for ourselves. It can hurt us, it can stick in us, it's hard to unroot when we feel hurt or betrayed because some injustice has befallen us, because someone has not come through on the deal, or what they did was wrong to us, that sort of thing. So that we're highly sensitized to that, and sometimes I wonder if we're not desensitized to injustice for others. Because there's so much of it in the world. I mean, we hear about it all the time, and we can kind of blow it off saying, well, that's their problem. Or even worse, we can look at that and say, hey, well, we'll look at their injustice and say, I wonder what they did to deserve that. We'll kind of parse it out and give some reason, well, that's their problem over there in Africa or something, and they got to live with that. Do you want to pay your rent to God? What's required of you for this place? Do justice, not just for yourselves, for the people. Do it. Second one is love kindness. And that's what I was playing with the kids about. What's kindness, of course? It's caring for other people and for their good. And I think it takes some sensitivity because caring for one person is always a little different. Showing care for one person is different than another. But kindness is really looking for that. It has a radar out to say, for that person, what is kind? What does that look like for this person to be helpful, to go out of your way to smile or whatever else that might be? What does kindness look like? And we have to kind of have a radar tuned in to figure those things out, I think. But we all have a sense of how important kindness is in the world. In fact, they've done studies on marriages, and they say the best indicator of the health of the marriage is how much or kindness there is, the kind acts that are going back and forth, or how lacking they are, or going the other way, of course, with critical criticism and meanness and that sort of thing. That really is a quick judge. They can watch a marriage interaction and say, here's where they are in terms of the health of that marriage. Kindness being the big indicator of how you're doing. Just acts of kindness matters. Keeps us alive, whole, healthy, that sort of thing. And here we're told, you want your rent paid in this world, what's required of you from God? Love is kindness thing. Third one is walk humbly with your God. And of course, walking is going somewhere together. Walking is taking a journey together. And I just look at my life with God, and where I was at 10 and 20 and 30 and through the decades has changed. How that walk is with God, but it's been with God. God's there, and I'm walking with this God, and it changes, it shapes how I understand God, what that walk looks like, changes some. So it's this journey through different territory with different challenges, and sometimes it feels a little different as we walk with God. But the key word he throws in here is humbly. A couple things about humbly that I think are important. First is to be humble with God means that you realize you're kind of, if you will, in the right position, that God is over you, that you are under God, and you're in a position of respect towards God, of honor towards God, of one receiving from God, to listen to God. I mean, that's part of what we're doing here. This is a humble thing, to come and hear God's word, thinking there's something there for me in this word of God. There's something there I can learn. I need God's guidance in my life. It's a place of humility. And I think the other place with humility that I want to mention today is just to know that we don't have to have it all figured out. So I think of Jesus' words in Matthew, the Beatitude of, blessed are the poor in spirit. In that day, there were people rich in spirit, and they were the ones who knew all the laws and were trying to do everything perfectly. They were kind of the rich in spirit. They were the ones that had it together, and Jesus said, no, blessed are the poor in spirit, the ones that don't have all the answers and have it all figured out. Blessed are they, and I think that's that sense of humility puts us in that place. I don't have all the answers here. I'm working on it. I'm trying to figure things out. I can. It's not like I don't have anything, but it's just, I understand. In a humble place, I'm walking with God. I don't have to have it all figured out. So here we have this wonderful list, these three things that, if you will, pays our rent with God. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with your God. You get that right? Hey, you're good with God. Any trips? Anybody struggling with this one? How's that set in there, good Lutherans? The word missing is?
Grace.
Grace, yeah. So glad to hear that come out. Yeah, makes a Lutheran pastor, of course. It doesn't mean, grace doesn't mean the law is gone. Grace is this place that reminds us that we really don't care about anybody else besides ourselves. In other words, we really don't care about justice. That we're just fine, that we don't really care. That there's still hope for folks like us. When we got a critical spirit, we're kind of mean and grumpy. Whoa, we need some help there, don't we? We're not all, I don't know about you, but we can be honest with ourselves with grace. And then when we're walking in our own ways without regard to God, that there could be grace for us. What a wonderful word. You know, this parable of the wicked tenants, or for us, the lousy tenants, whatever you want to say, gets at us that God sometimes pokes us with this law to remind us. We're not making it. Even in a nice little 3-point summary, we're not making it. And that's all right. Because the story isn't finished with the son getting thrown out of the vineyard and killed. The God would take what we would use, our evil that we have done, and use it for good. It's just this remarkable thing. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't do justice, that isn't what we owe, that love, kindness, and walk humbly with our God. We get that down wonderful, but we don't always have it down. And there's this great thing that God has done for us in that the story just doesn't end with the son getting kicked out of the vineyard and murdered. That God would raise him up. He would send his spirit to us to work in us, that we know there is forgiveness when we fall short, and we'd also know that God is at work in our lives, reshaping inside of us so that we can come back and with the spirit's energy begin to live in a more full way what it is to do justice. Love mercy, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God, that he's working in our lives, that we might find our way from our hearts to do that. So this day, O people of God, know there's grace for you. And yes, know there's a law that calls you to a high standard, standard that other people don't have, to do justice, love mercy, kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Amen.